Good evening, everyone. If you'd go ahead and stand while I read from Genesis, we're going to be chapter 19, verses 23 through 26. And the sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife, behind him, looked back and became a pillar of salt. You can be seated. So I've got 3 points to go over from this text tonight. We're going to be discussing Lot's imperfect obedience, Lot's wife's disobedience, and God's covenantal relationship with his people. So most of, if not all of you, are familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were cities so overflowing with sin that God raised them to the ground in his righteous judgment. Abram's nephew Lot had chosen to settle in that area when he and Abram had parted ways. Over time, he had gained some level of prominence and notoriety within the city. He offered shelter to the angels who came to execute the Lord's judgment on the city. He offers his daughters to the angry mob to appease them. The mob is then blinded by the angels. Lot and his family is told to leave. Lot then tarries to the point where the angels have to drag him and his family outside of the city, at which point he continues to delay, negotiate, and the angels tell him to go to the hills. Lot says, that's too far. How about I go to that city that's closer? They grant him this favor, and that's the lead up to our text tonight. So Lot eventually leads his family to Zoar. His wife looks back and is turned into a pillar of salt. So point number one, Lot's imperfect obedience. Throughout the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a lot going on with Lot. One thing we know is that despite his imperfections, Lot is a righteous man. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, it says, let me get to the right one, there it is. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. So Lot being righteous means that he is in right relationship with God. The angels who come to the city to execute the Lord's judgment tell him twice to leave Sodom before they physically remove him from the city. And eventually what we see in verse 26 is but Lot's wife who was behind him. So when I first began mulling over this passage, I was inclined to believe that this reflected negatively on Lot. As the head of his household, he should have placed himself between them and whatever the threat was. So I was viewing this scene from the perspective of the judgment of Sodom was the threat. And so similar to a burning building, Lot should have placed himself between the city and his family, as if you were exiting a burning house. You want to gather your family, ensure everyone's in front of you so that as you leave, you know that they're safe. Had Lot been in this position, he could have potentially prevented his wife from making her fatal error of looking back. But that's not actually what's happening here. So yes, Lot's wife is behind them, but that image is more of a reflection on Lot's position to finally lead his family. And so Lot is, he's not running towards Zoar, hoping that his family keeps up. He's not shirking his responsibility as the head of his house. He is finally leading his family towards safety. 2 Peter says that Lot is greatly distressed, and his soul is tormented by what is happening in Sodom. Now remember, he is a righteous man, but what did that do to his family? So he settles his family near Sodom, and at some point they move into the city. Lot rises to a position of prominence within the city, and surely his wife would have made connections, she would have had friends, and she would have socialized within that environment. His daughters would have grown up in that city. And if you aren't familiar with what happens in Zoar, they don't exactly make the best decisions once they're safe from the destruction of Sodom. So even though Lot is a righteous man, notice how there are still consequences for Lot. His daughters get him drunk, they become pregnant, and they give birth to what will become the line of the Moabites and the Ammonites, who will become enemies to Israel, and they will worship false gods. So Lot's entire lineage completely abandons God because of decisions that he has made in his life, even though he is righteous and in a right standing with God. This theme we see played out several times in the Old Testament. David comes to mind. David was a man after the Lord's own heart. He made a decision, and it affected generations of his family. Nevertheless, despite all of his shortcomings, Lot ultimately obeys. He begins leading his family away from Sodom and is saved from destruction. And so you can be saved, yet still struggle deeply. So remember, we are saved through faith alone, and that results in a faithful obedience. Our right relationship with God is made possible through our faith in Christ. However, proximity to sin and the level to which we tolerate it in our lives can still have severe consequences on the life we live and the loved ones that we have around us. Point number two, Lot's wife's disobedience. So the angels have taken Lot and his family outside of the city. They've sent them on their way, and they're told not to look back or stop anywhere in the valley. So they're running away from Sodom. Lot is in the lead, guiding his family to safety. And verse 26, but Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So there's different takes on what actually occurs here. Calvin believed that she was miraculously turned to salt. Others say she lagged behind, turned, and was caught up in the destruction of that city. Others still say that her being behind him, she turned back, actually went back to the city and was caught up in the destruction. And so that's where the turning to salt came from. All of which are completely irrelevant to why she actually turned in the first place. And that is what the passage is trying to communicate. For what it's worth, I believe what Calvin says here. The Lord miraculously turned her into a pillar of salt. Pillars are often used in the Old Testament for things like remembrance and divine encounters. So her turning, viewing the city, makes her becoming a pillar and makes her a monument, essentially, to the disobedience of God and succumbing to sin. So Lot's wife doesn't turn around because she's curious about the destruction. It's not like driving past a car accident that slows traffic to a crawl because people want to see how much carnage has occurred. Lot's wife turns because that's where her heart was. Lot and his family had built a life in Sodom. They had some level of notoriety in Sodom, and they had developed relationships and friendships, and her identity was wrapped up within the city of Sodom. The statement in verse 26 behind him doesn't just give us positional information to Lot leading his family. It indicates the pull that Sodom has on Lot's wife. She doesn't want to leave. She has the same information that Lot has. She knows the city is going to be destroyed. She does not want to leave. And so she's being offered life, and in the end, she turns away from that life. She turns away from her family, and she chooses her sin, which eventually leads to her death. You cannot fake your way to salvation. The truth of your heart is eventually going to be revealed. And that brings us to point three, which is God's covenantal relationship with his people. So this entire scene of Lot and his family dwelling in Sodom and being taken out and fleeing to Zoar is an image of God's covenant relationship with his people that we see reflected in the New Testament. So we're going to have to back up a few verses to where the angels physically take Lot and his family outside of the city, away from destruction. And then in John 6, verse 44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Now, that word, the Greek word for draws there is helkuo, probably butchered that. But it literally means to drag. It does not mean to woo, to entice, or to appeal to someone. It means to drag. And so here we have Lot and his family being told of the coming destruction, and Lot delays. He's told a second time, and he tarries longer. So Lot, being a righteous man in a right relationship with God, finally the angels physically remove him from the city and send them on their way. They grab him by his hand and drag him out of the city. And at this moment, outside of the city, this is a moment every single one of us has encountered. In one direction, you have sin and death, and in the other direction, you have hope and new life. At one point in our lives, we were all rebellious sinners. We were all presented with the gospel and the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and we all made a choice. In that moment outside the city, what does Lot do? He bargains. He's given the choice of life, and they're telling him to leave, and he still wants to negotiate this. He says that the hills are too far away. He wants to go to a closer city, and he's granted this. The Lord is faithful to his people, and he grants him this wish. And so, you see, when your heart is changed, when you repent and believe, your old self may be dead, you may be a new creature in Christ, but the habits of the old you still have to be crushed and put to death, and that takes time. Some habits die easier than others, and new habits need to be cultivated and encouraged to grow. I don't know who originally said it. I heard it from Wes Huff, if you're familiar with him, but justification gets you out of Egypt. Sanctification gets Egypt out of you. It's a long, arduous, and sometimes painful process. We are and will always be imperfect this side of heaven. So Lot bargains with the angels. They grant him his request to seek shelter in a nearby city. And eventually, Lot begins to lead his family to safety. He doesn't look back. He keeps his eyes fixed on his destination obediently. And if God has changed your heart, if you have repented of your sins and believe in the gospel, that is the position you find yourselves in. Your enslavement to sin and death is behind you. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus as you walk towards eternal life. So what about Lot's wife? It appears at the outset that she's chosen to follow her husband to safety. She knows everything Lot knows. She knows there's going to be destruction brought on Sodom, but as her family is running away from the oncoming judgment, she turns. What was the difference between these two? As we've covered, Lot is obviously a righteous man. His wife was unrighteous. So Lot, being in right relationship with God, his wife was not. This imagery plays out numerous times throughout the Bible. The parable of the sower, for example, where different seed is planted on the ground. Some is carried away, some sprouts for a season, and others grow fruitful. So there are people who appear to be moving in the right direction, who appear to be born again, but for whatever reason, at some point, they turn away. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen videos pop up on my social media feed that start with, "I used to be a Christian," or even worse, "I used to be a pastor." Brothers and sisters, it is a heart issue. In 1 John 2:19, it says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. There is always a cost to following Christ. It's not immediately apparent, and it might seem like a simple decision for a while, but somewhere along the line, the reality of that cost is going to set in. And for Lot's wife, the cost was too great. In the end, she loved her sin more than life, more than her family, and more than God. And she turned away from all of it. If your heart has been changed, and you are the only one who knows the truth of that, then you will persevere. You should take comfort in that. That doesn't mean you're not going to stumble. That doesn't mean that you're not going to need help or that you're not going to need forgiveness. But you will persevere. God is faithful. Look how he deals with Lot. If you'll remember, right before the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abram is bargaining, pleading on behalf of the righteous people of Sodom. 50, and it goes down from 50 to 10. And 10 is an arbitrary number, essentially meaning, will you destroy any righteous people within the city along with the wicked? And the answer to that was no. God was faithful to Lot and got him out of the city. He is very intentional with his judgment here. There's no collateral damage when God acts. And we can rest assured that he keeps his promises. And if your heart's been changed and you've repented of your sins and believed, then the scriptures tell us the Son will lose none that the Father gives him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. We just pray that you help us to be obedient to it, Increase in us the desire to spend time in it and to learn from it. Lord, help us to fight the temptation of sin in the world around us, and help us to lead our families well. Amen.